This is episode 18 of the Great Speech Podcast on Prime Ministers versus Presidents. Who is the greatest communicator?
Let's go.
It's a Great Speech Podcast for the public speakers. We're going way down deep to look at what makes a communicator. We'll look at all different topics from the bottom to the top. So get your mind free of all the distractions and please listen up.
It's the Great Speech Podcast.
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 Thanks, Dad. Welcome back, my great communicators, to the first proper episode of season 3, really into my stride. It is great to have you guys with me. We're well and truly into 2020, so I hope it has been a good one for you. If you can hear that my voice is even more nasal than normal, my wife says I have a very, very nasal voice anyway, it is because I am struggling with a cold. I normally get a cold kind of once a year, although this seems to be my 1 year, my cold for this year very early on. So apologies if it sounds a bit nasal. Apologies if I sneeze. As you know, just to remind you of the rules and the way that I do this, I do my podcasts in one take. That is what I will be doing today. So if you hear me sneeze, my apologies that I haven't cut it out, but that's the way it rolls. If you hear any other disturbances, that is just the way it goes. This episode will follow that same pattern. I start all my episodes with a quote, and the quote of this episode is from a gentleman who, in fact, did not become a president or prime minister of his country. But in fact, I think should have been. He is Robert Kennedy, the younger brother of JFK, both of whom were assassinated. I happen to think that had Robert Kennedy become the leader or president, that he in fact would have done great things. So this quote is by him saying, "Moral courage is a rarer commodity than bravery in battle or great intelligence. Yet it is the one essential, vital quality for those who seek to change a world that yields most painfully to change." I love the kind of the cadence of that quote. It's a bit of a kind of a bygone era, the way people talk then, especially if you watch Robert Kennedy and the way he expressed himself. I love that quote because I think, as I said, Robert Kennedy could have been a great president had he had the chance. He was assassinated whilst running for president, very tragically in the 1960s. Anyway, the reason I have that quote is because this episode is really all about leadership in a way, but mainly about the communication style of leaders. And what I'm doing is, this is my first in the series of verses. Sorry, that is my computer notifications. You see, I told you this is live, right? So I'm going to try and shut that down so that doesn't happen again. My apologies, but it may happen again anyway. This is the first episode in the series of my versus episodes where I'm going to be pitching two different things or people against each other and seeing who comes out on top. I thought, why not do this? Originally, I planned to do one just called Obama versus Trump because I happen to think they're very interesting as communicators. But I thought, let's actually go much further and talk about the presidents and prime ministers basically of the last 20-30 years. So the earliest person I am starting with is Ronald Reagan, because I don't want to go too much further than that. These are the ones that were kind of in my lifetime that I remember. Anything earlier than that, so people like Churchill, JFK, are not going to be in this particular list. But in this list, what we are looking at is who was the greatest communicator out of the presidents and prime ministers, specifically of Britain and America. Of course, there have been some great leaders and great communicator leaders in different countries around the world in different eras. But for this particular episode, I had to narrow it. So I thought, let's just focus on the ones that I personally know the best in terms of how well and effectively they communicated. And so I thought I would focus on that. As usual, please, 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 the three S's, subscribe. Once you hit that subscribe button, it means that it will automatically download my episodes each time they happen so that you can listen to them even when you haven't got reception, and it kind of reminds you to do that. So make sure you hit the subscribe button wherever you see it. The second S is to share. Tell somebody else about it. That is how things grow. And I also think they will appreciate you for sharing it, because I believe I give good value in this podcast. Certainly, that's what people seem to say. And the final S is say what you think. Bit of a reach that one for the S, but say what you think, which means write a review, especially on Apple Podcasts, because that's the one that seems to actually tell me that someone's done a review compared to all the others. So go on there, have a look at the review. Don't just kind of click the stars that says, you know, 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever, but actually write a review. I give a shout out to everyone who does that. If you look back at my previous episodes, you'll see that I've done that. So please shout me out a review and I will give you a shout out on this podcast itself. Be nice, be horrible, pick a particular topic, be general, doesn't matter. I'd love to hear from you, because it really, really helps me understand the impact this podcast is having. Okay, so we are basically going to be doing a countdown of the last 13 presidents or prime ministers in total, to say which one is number one. Who do I consider to be the greatest communicator out of all those leaders? Now, to be clear, one thing it's very important to note, I am not factoring in politics, i.e. my personal politics and personal preferences, right? I'm not going to do that. If I did, Barack Obama would be number one because he's my guy, right? But I'm not going to do that, because that's a whole different discussion, way above my pay grade, and you guys didn't come here for that. You only want to know what my thoughts are in regards to communication stuff. So not going to be factoring in personal preference of politics, anything like that. The criteria that I thought I would use would essentially be, was this person able to give a speech or say words that were equal to the needs of the moment, right? All of us can speak at any point, but the point is, when you're a leader, you're often faced with challenging times or difficult times or momentous occasions. And can you say the right words that are equal to the needs of that moment? Another criteria is how much are you able to empathize with people when you are engaging with them? So how empathic are you, or how empathetic are you? Then also, how well are you able to respond to tough questions with impressive answers? I think that is a very important element of communication. It's all very well being able to speak nicely when you want to say what you want to say, but what about when you're challenged? Can you still respond impressively and compellingly? So that is another criteria. And then finally, how effectively are you able to convince people who do not already support you? That, again, I think is an important criteria, because the art of communication really is to reach people and to effectively convince them or persuade them. If all you do is focus on those that already agree with you, then really, truly, how effective are you being? So those are the criteria that I am using for this. There could be other criteria. I'm sure you may agree or disagree with this criteria, but that's what I'm picking. And I've kind of taken all the leaders from the US and the UK and put them through that matrix of sort to come up with my personal take on the top communicators. We're going to start from the bottom of the list and go all the way down, or up, I guess, to number one. I am going to do a little bit of editing on this episode, because I said I normally do these in one take. So actually, I'm going to record what I'm saying in one take, but I'm going to try and splice in a couple of snippets of speeches or things like that, just to make things a bit more interesting. So if you hear that happen, it's not because I stopped recording. It's just that I went later to go and add in the various bits and bobs. Okay, so without any further ado, let us get going. I'm going to kind of probably go through the early ones quite quickly, because I don't think there's going to be that much disagreement with this. So number 13 on my list, i.e. bottom of the list, i.e. the worst communicator of the lot, for me is, unfortunately, Theresa May.
I will shortly leave the job that it has been the honour of my life to hold. The second female Prime Minister, but certainly not the last. I do so with no ill will, but with enormous and enduring gratitude to have had the opportunity to serve the country I love.
Theresa May. Oh, I'm sorry, Theresa. She is a highly dignified person. Brexit was a difficult period, so, you know, you can't blame her for being thrust into that. So I'm not going to make any comments on her political handling of that, which I don't think was that good. Stop that, caller. My observation is just her ability as a communicator. And I'm afraid to say, I think she was appalling. She was robotic. I mean, she had the nickname of the Maybot. Bit unflattering, but it really was accurate. She was very robotic, very stiff. There was kind of nothing particularly engaging about her. She just made the points in a very straight way with perfect English and perfect diction, and it had absolutely no heart whatsoever. I do not remember her giving a speech that was equal to any moment. In fact, the only time I can remember any speech of hers was when she danced along to Dancing Queen at the Conservative Party conference, which, okay, nice moment. It was nice to see a bit of humanity about her, but it really wasn't in any way a piece of communication to be revered or to inspire. So for all sorts of reasons that I could go into, but I don't want to really waste time with the ones who are bottom. Theresa May, I'm afraid you get the wooden spoon. You are bottom of my list. My apologies. Enjoy your retirement. And maybe work on your communication in the meantime. Moving swiftly on to number 12. Number 12 is Gordon Brown. Prime Minister Gordon Brown.
And you know, our country faces the biggest choice for a generation. So we need to fight, not bow out, not walk away, not give in, not give up, but fight. Fight to win for Britain.
Now, Gordon was an incredibly smart guy, right? I mean, a guy with a big brain. Some may argue that he was a very successful chancellor. That's not for me to comment on. Some may say that he led the country into ruin, that led to this part of the crash that, you know, decimated part of the country. Again, not for me to answer. I am judging him purely as a communicator. Now, partly he suffers by comparison, because he came immediately after Tony Blair, who you will hear my thoughts about Tony Blair. So I'm not going to go into that too much at the moment. But I think it's fairly safe to say, I think it's uncontroversial to say that Gordon Brown compared to Tony Blair as a communicator was pretty terrible. So Gordon had, I think the problem he suffered from was he wanted to be leader for so long. That's all he focused on when he wasn't leader. He wanted to get rid of Blair because he thought he should have been the number one. And as a result, I don't think he worked hard enough at understanding that as a leader, your job is to bring people along. You need to be doing that. So he spent all his time trying to become leader rather than focusing on developing the skills, especially the communication skills that would mean if and when he became the leader, the prime minister, he would actually be able to bring people along with him, convince people, persuade people, inspire people with what he said and what he did. And I'm afraid to say he just didn't achieve it at all. And Gordon had this really awkward kind of inane smile. It's like, it's almost like you could tell that he doesn't smile, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're not a smiling guy, just don't do it. But probably in the age of politics, especially following someone like Tony Blair, he felt the need to smile. And when he did, it just looked so awkward. And that communicated a kind of distance between him and the electorate and the people. It made people feel like, oh, there's something just not really normal about this guy. And when he spoke, even though, again, he spoke well in terms of being able to talk about big issues, he was never really powerful or authentic or inspiring or engaging when he spoke. So in my view, he again was another poor communicator, notwithstanding his very big brain. And that is why he comes above Theresa May, because really she was the worst, I'm afraid, but not that high up at all. I did struggle with whether or not he should be above or below the next guy I've got on the list. In the end, I went for below, but I wouldn't argue with anybody who said he was slightly better. Because the next guy on the list at number 11 is George H. Bush. That's George Bush Sr. George Bush Sr.
My opponent won't rule out raising taxes, but I will, and the Congress will push me to raise taxes, and I'll say no. And they'll push, and I'll say no. And they'll push again, and I'll say to them, read my lips. No new taxes.
Now, George Bush Sr., if I asked you to tell me, can you remember a single thing that this man said or did of note? Maybe if you know your politics, you might know a few of the things he did. But if you are as old as me, the only thing you will remember this man ever saying of note was his comment when he said, read my lips. No new taxes, right? Which was a promise that he would not bring in any new taxes when he became president, which he then proceeded to break. And so that's why it became very famous, because he actually broke that promise. That's it. That is the only thing we remember him from. This guy was dour, right? This guy was uninspiring. In fact, he was the first president for ages to only have one term. That's, and in the way things are stacked in America, it's actually quite difficult for a president to lose an election once he's been president already. So this guy really didn't do well, although he was then against Bill Clinton, who is a masterful communicator, as you will see me talk about later. But the long and short of it is really nothing to George Bush. He was the vice president to Ronald Reagan, so again, probably suffers by comparison to Mr. Reagan, who was pretty good. And really, he just kind of did his thing, but there's nothing particularly memorable. As I'm saying this, I'm still wondering, should he be below George Gordon Brown or above? Quite frankly, I don't think it matters. They're both pretty low down the list. So George H. Bush, George Bush Sr., comes in for me at number 11. I'm going to take a quick drink and move on to my number 10. Now, number 10 is John Major.
Well, the Right Honourable Gentleman ends as pious and pompous as he's been throughout this parliament. If what he said were correct, why did not his member on the committee actually ask for what the Right Honourable Gentleman asked for? For he did not. Why did not the Labour members of the committee ask for what the Right Honourable Gentleman asked for? For they did not. This has been a political stunt by the Right Honourable Gentleman and the leader of the Liberal Party, and they both know it has been a political stunt from the moment they learned what the unemployment figures were.
John Major. So John Major, actually now, the kind of the sad thing for John Major is that now he's actually become a pretty damn good communicator. In fact, during the Brexit period, when there was a back and forth and the fight over whether it should happen or not, he gave some really strong, powerful speeches. He was arguing for Britain to stay in Europe rather than come out. And he gave some really strong, really powerful speeches about that. Very compelling, kind of very dignified. He's developed a lot more kind of gravitas since he ceased to be prime minister. So in a way, my judgment of him is a little bit affected by what he clearly was capable of, but didn't really show so much of at the time. He was a decent enough communicator. He was seen as a little bit boring, so that affects kind of views of him. If you guys are UK based, and again, you're as old as me, you will remember a caricature program called Spitting Image. And in that, his character was a grey puppet, a really insipid, colourless grey puppet. And that was to signify the fact that he was kind of a little bit grey, dull in the way he presented himself, the way he spoke. But he was very intelligent, very eloquent, in fact, just not necessarily hugely inspiring. Certainly has got better now. He's kind of grown into himself now, which is probably why I would put him, you know, above George Bush and Gordon Brown and people like that. Again, he really does come quite low down on the list. He wasn't great, but on balance, I put him slightly higher. Oh, he has my favorite dumb quote, actually. Sorry, John. My favorite dumb quote, which is, they asked him, they said, what do you do when your back, I think the quote was, when your back is against the wall, there's only one thing to do, turn around and fight. Which I think is such a stupid quote. It's fantastic. It's the kind of thing you say in the heat of the moment and you only realize afterwards that that's actually pretty dumb. So yes, John Major, thank you for the quote. You're not that high on the list. You are coming in at number 10. So we shall move on to number 9. We're starting to get to the prime ministers. They're probably a bit more familiar to people, but we will see, because my number 9 is David Cameron.
The last thing I'd say is that you can achieve a lot of things in politics. You can get a lot of things done. And that, in the end, the public service, the national interest, that is what it's all about. Nothing is really impossible if you put your mind to it. After all, as I once said, I was the future once.
Now, some of you may be quite surprised, because on the surface, David Cameron was actually quite an effective communicator. I mean, he, to an extent, he dominated the British political scene at his time. And I found it a little bit difficult to place him in that. He's very articulate, you know, very nice guy, right? He looked the part. He said nice things. I was very impressed with the speech he gave to become leader. He did the whole thing without any notes, which actually was very effective. And a large part of why he became leader was actually on the strength of that single speech that he gave, you know, that impressed so many people. My issue with him, though, was he was kind of a bit of a PR man. So that's the way he came across. Whilst he said the right things, he didn't say it with any degree of authenticity that lent credibility to what he was saying. It was kind of a very vanilla kind of communicator. So yes, it all sounds good and sounds nice, but it just wasn't convincing. And I think a lot of the time he would say things that people would accept because he said it very well, said it in a very British accent, but in fact, it wouldn't be particularly convincing. It was one of those where 5 minutes after he'd said it, nobody really paid attention. Nobody really remembered. I remember he had this whole big idea that he called the Big Society, and I'm still not entirely sure what it was meant to be, but I think it was, you know, that we have to unite as a people and look out for one another. And he was going to bring in this big society revolution. So that's an example of a big idea that he tried to convince people about, and nobody had a clue what he was talking about. And pretty soon it was dropped, and I don't remember a single thing ever coming of it, right? So that, I think, is the problem that I have with David Cameron. Looked great in style, but substance was pretty poor. And then there is a particularly negative mark that I have against him, and it is Brexit. Now, again, not because I personally disagreed and I'm absolutely sad and devastated because Britain has come out of the European Union. I hate the fact that the country is turning its back on the world, but that's life. But actually because of the messaging that he used in that period. So he went essentially all negative, all dark. It was what they called Project Fear, which is to tell the country that it's going to be terrible if we leave Europe. And so essentially asking people to vote out of fear. That is never an effective method of communication. if you don't at least at the same time as you tell people about the negative side, the side of things that's going to be bad for them, also give them something to vote for, they will not do it. They will not follow you, because people always need to be inspired, and it's far better to do that than scare them. And David Cameron just went all in the message of Project Fear about Brexit, and he lost. And guess what he lost to? A much more hopeful message from the Brexit camp, which is all about, we're going to take back control and we're going to assert our independence and we're going to reemerge and become Great Britain in the world. Whatever all of that meant, right? Didn't matter that there wasn't any substance to it. It was a hopeful message in the eyes of the supporters. And that was the difference between success and failure in terms of David Cameron's campaign. And that is why I also mark him significantly down, David, damn it. You made all the difference and did it wrong. So that is why David Cameron is at number 9. You may agree or disagree, but that's what I think. So live with it. Okay, let us move on. I'm going to blow my nose, guys. My apologies here. I may have to lower the volume when I do it. Oh, right, let's hope that's the only one I have to do. My apologies. Hope that wasn't too loud and disgusting. Okay, number eight is... Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson.
Because the Assembly members have decided they have no questions to scrutinise.
Are you saying they're abdicating their duty to scrutinise me? Okay. Are you saying they don't? They haven't the guts to put questions to me?
What
great
is it,
supine protoplasmic invertebrate jellies. That's it. They don't want to ask me any questions.
Now, let me give you my reasons, because there may be people who completely disagree with this. Some may place it much, much higher. Some may place him much, much lower. Again, I'm not factoring in personal politics. I will be open and honest that I dislike the man intensely, but that is not going to play any part in my assessment of him as a communicator, I promise. Boris Johnson, let's think about the strengths first of all. He is extremely eloquent. In a way, I think he's probably the most naturally lyrical of all the leaders that you will see on this list. I mean, he's beloved by kind of a core group of people. Even the gaffes that we kind of see him do, in a way, I think a little bit contrived. I think he kind of plays up to it. But they actually add to his professed kind of man of the people style and aura, you know, despite the fact that he's probably about as elitist as you can get, you know, as a person. But that kind of plays into the character of Boris Bojo that many people know and love. And what he's been able to do as a communicator effectively is, in a sense, take himself out of the needing to be perfect and to say the right words at exactly the right time, and kind of bypass all of that by getting people to just believe that he is a genuine, great character, so that whatever he says, it doesn't matter. Even if he makes a mistake, it doesn't matter, because he's real. He's one of us. He's a man of the people. He's being authentic, unlike all those, you know, identikit politicians who use focus groups to decide what they should say, right? So now that is really a skill. Not everybody can achieve that. That's why I give him quite high marks as a communicator. He was also a writer. He's a former journalist, kind of models himself on Winston Churchill, although in, oh my goodness, sorry, that's my bell. Ignore that. Models himself on Winston Churchill, even though he ain't a patch on old Winston, for various reasons. So he really does deserve credit for being a, I'll say, a masterful communicator to an extent, in that he really is able to articulate his thoughts and speak very well, if you just look at it as the art of being able to say something. The problems I have with him is that I think when you're getting to the level of leaders and presidents and prime ministers, there needs to be more than just being able to string words together in a very articulate and interesting lyrical manner. There needs to be something that is substantive enough that will actually convince and carry people along with you. And my problem with him is the way he communicates, it's almost like he's a tabloid headline writer, right? It's always going for the punchline, always going for the headline that will play on the news, as opposed to something that is really crafted to take people somewhere. I think actually his ability to answer questions is pretty terrible, because yes, he speaks and he always responds. But when you then try to analyze, well, what has he actually said that has taken the discussion anywhere? Very, very often, it hasn't. So very great lyricist, very great speaker. But in my view, he really hasn't infused his words with a degree of substance that would mean that he's able to set out a clear vision and then take people there. So, you know, say some great stuff, like, you know, it says things like, you know, my speaking style was criticized by no less than an authority than Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was a low moment, my friends, to have my rhetorical skills denounced by a monosyllabic Austrian cyborg. You know, yeah, great, you know, bravery, interesting and funny, but what is there to it? So that for me at the moment is too much of Boris. Now, it is early days in his prime ministership, in his leadership, as I'm recording this podcast. This is in February 2020. It is quite possible that he will grow beyond it. I personally doubt it, but it's possible. But for the moment, again, he's higher than others because he really is lyrically brilliant, right? Extremely eloquent. And that has to count for something, as I said. And he's given some, you know, passable speeches, not necessarily hugely memorable, but, you know, at the time that you listened to them, they were pretty good. So that is why he comes above, for instance, people like David Cameron in my book, but still not very high. I wouldn't argue with anybody who put David Cameron or John Major above him. That's just the way it goes. Okay, let's move on and leave the blonde babbling buffoon behind. Apologies for any supporters. Let's go on to number seven. And number seven is George W. Bush. W.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again. Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. Those who think that they can say, we're only going to have a stimulus package, but let's forget tax relief, underestimate. Just making sure you were paying attention. You were.
George W. Bush. And again, we're not going to mark him down for the abomination that was the Iraq War. In fact, actually, well, let me not say I'm not going to mark him down. In fact, it's something worth considering, just to put people back in context, that at shortly after 9/11, I think the year after 9/11, George W. Bush had an approval rating of 92%. You really should remember that. This man, despite looking like and acting like a bit of a fool, which he really did, and again, we shouldn't kind of color over that, at the time was able to position himself as an effective man of the people, man of kind of heartland America, you know, the man that stands for us and will fight for us. He really, really was able to achieve that very, very effectively. He gave He was apparently extremely charming in person. You may have seen images or video of him and, for instance, Michelle Obama, who is one of my favorite all-time communicators, actually getting along very well, because apparently, by all accounts, he's very charming in person. And he was actually able to empathize with people very well, so that when people were in his presence, they always felt like, you know what, this whatever I see on TV, this man is actually really good and one of us. So I actually place him quite high as a communicator. His speeches actually were pretty good at times. He gave some very almost Churchillian speeches after 9/11. In fact, one of my favorite speeches of his was a speech given shortly after 9/11. It's called the Islam is Peace speech. And I tell you, I find it remarkable because this is at the height of 9/11, at the height of, as you can understand, inflamed passions, which to a large extent was then misdirected. Sorry, that's another noise. Misdirected against people of a certain culture, whether it's, well, it's against Muslim people, but essentially basically ended up being anybody remotely Arab or Asian looking. Right. So at the height of that, he gave a speech called Islam is Peace, really talking about how he wouldn't allow people to take the terrorists who had committed atrocious acts of murder and allow that to paint an entire religion and an entire people who followed that religion as anything other than what they were, which is a peaceful religion of peace. So I think for that moment, that act, which I think is almost probably one of the most courageous acts of all of these leaders at this time, I actually give a lot of props to George W. Bush, I think he has to be respected for that. Loads of gaffes, which again a little bit like Bojo, and also to an extent Donald Trump, kind of enhanced his man of the people vibe. For those that supported him, for those that didn't, it just gave too much fuel for them to dismiss him as an idiot. But again, 92% approval rating, people, you cannot dispute that or dismiss that. And he won re-election, right? He beat Al Gore, ignoring the politics of that. So you really can't ignore the strength of his ability as a communicator at that time. So George W. Bush comes in at number seven. Number six, we go back to Britain for this one because we have...
To those waiting with bated breath for that favourite media catchphrase, the U-turn, I have only one thing to say. U-turn if you want to. The ladies, not for turning.
Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady herself, with the voice that I still do not quite understand what she was doing with it. I'll tell you what she was doing with it. She, in fact, used to have what in her view was a very kind of high-pitched, shrilling voice, which... she took the view, and she was probably right, especially in that time in that decade, in that era, that she needed to have a voice that was much more rounded, richer, a little bit deeper. So she took elocution lessons and speech lessons in order to kind of lower and round the sound of her voice and her vowels, which she believed would make her sound much more like a leader. And actually, there's research that kind of backs that up as well, unfortunately. So, yes, she did that. The reason I've actually placed her as high as she is, so it's not because she gave lots and lots of great, great speeches that are memorable. Probably the most famous one is a speech she talked about, "The lady is not for turning, you turn if you want to." That was actually a very strong speech. But it's not so much for her strong speeches, although she did give some strong ones. It's that she was able to command, she had a commanding presence that lent great, great power to everything that she said. You know, you think about the time that she came into politics, or at least became leader, where it really was, you know, establishment Britain, completely dominated by old white men, right? Who had not ever had or seen a female leader, probably very few had ever had a female boss. And so she really was able to come into this environment and dominate with the power of her ability to express her thoughts, her vision. She had that commanding voice once she kind of modified it. She worked against a backdrop of male chauvinism and overcame that. She was brilliant in the House of Commons and had a real command of that forum. Very formidable. She won three elections. Obviously, a lot of that's to do with the politics, but equally, you can't win three elections if you are not a highly effective communicator. She really kind of displayed her authority. There's a quote that I love of hers, which I just thought was a very good way of expressing something. So she was talking about understanding what it's like to run an economy. And what she said is, look, any woman who understands the problems of running a home will be nearer to understanding the problems of running a country. And it was at that time very effective way of just breaking things down to help people understand what it's like. And she was making a lot of economic arguments. So very, very effective in that way. She struggled, in my mind, with empathy. That's why she doesn't come higher on the list, although she does come above other people, obviously. Really struggled with empathy. She very much was seen as quite removed from the people. That actually led to her downfall eventually. So that's why she's at number six, which is kind of probably about right, about halfway through our list. Let us go on. We're now starting to come to the real, you know, the money plots, the money spaces, because I wouldn't say any of these could have a reasonable shot at number one, but I can see people making arguments for any of these people being in the number one slot, even though I would vehemently disagree, especially with the next one on the list, which is number five, which is Donald Trump.
And the crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
So, Donald Trump, let's ignore the craziness, all right? Let's ignore the nonsense. Let's ignore the misogyny, the chauvinism, the racism, the bigotry, the homophobia. You know, let's ignore all of that stuff, right? We're just talking about him as a communicator, because this man is a disruptor, right? Yes, there are lies, there's incoherent nonsense, there's insults, but he is a disruptor. And what he has done incredibly effectively is disrupt the usual form of communication to such an extent that he's almost carved out an entirely new category that only he sits in. And as a result, he can do anything from that position. He can say anything. He can insult anyone. He can do anything in the manner that he does it. And still, he will get a huge amount of support. He will generate controversy, but that in itself will allow him to share the message that he wants. Whether you agree with his message or not, you will still see that he has shared it. And so you will be forced to talk about it. That is a highly effective method of communication. I do not like it. In fact, I despise it, but it is highly effective, especially with his core group of people. I mean, he really is right that he could shoot somebody in the middle of Times Square and his people would still support him. You have to give credit to somebody who's able to achieve that. Yes, it is kind of cult-like. Yes, he probably is a bit of a crook and a criminal, allegedly. But you cannot doubt his ability on that. Now, the things that, in fact, let me give you one other thing, which I think is a massive superpower of his, which is his ability to extemporize, right? His ability to just speak. He speaks for hours on end without a single prompter, or even if there is a prompter or a teleprompter, he doesn't use it. He just talks. Put aside the fact that 90% of what he says is probably nonsense. That is an incredible ability to be able to stand in a stadium of 10,000 people and speak to them or at them for 2 hours and not lose a single second of their attention. That is a skill of communication, whether we like it or not. So that is why he really does come quite high up. The things that mark him down, of course, are he really is hopeless at keeping a thought in his mind. And so you ask him a question, he cannot give a coherent answer. That is a weakness. He therefore is unable to hold a coherent thought, he's unable to make a compelling message beyond a very, very basic one. You have to commend his use of Twitter to share a message, right? But Twitter is 240 characters. You can't be able to convey a clear message and vision to people with that kind of medium. And really, he's pretty hopeless at it. He's pretty good at doing the man of the people, but that people is a very narrow base of people. And remember, one of the categories in my list, or one of the criteria, is the ability to reach across and persuade others who don't agree with you. And he's terrible at that. I mean, really, really appalling. I don't think he has really picked up any support outside of his core base. And I think that is really a problem. What's interesting, actually, which is just an aside, is that he uses very, very few what you call disfluencies, the ums and ahs and likes and you knows. When he speaks, in fact, he uses almost none, which is actually a very impressive feat. In fact, the next person on the list uses far too many, although that's not such as a problem as people might think. So Donald Trump, masterful communicator in a pretty limited sense, but it is super effective. There's been no politician like him before. I suspect we won't have many politicians like him afterwards. So for his ability to create his own category and dominate it, you have to put him pretty highly. And he actually comes in the top five, notwithstanding his politics. Thank you, Donald. Thank you, the Don. Okay, let's get to number four. And number four, many will disagree with this. I suspect a lot will have wanted me to place him higher, but I have to be true to my word. Barack Obama.
And to those Americans whose support I have yet to earn, I may not have won your vote tonight, but I hear your voices. I need your help. And I will be your president too. And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we proved once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring power of our ideals, democracy, liberty, opportunity, and unyielding hope.
President Obama, my president, my guy. This is a man that I think as a person is brilliant, man of high integrity and all of that, right? And so he does come very high on the list in terms of communicators. I mean, his ability, his master of delivering the set piece speech really is second to none. I think he is the top of the list in terms of the ability to do that. Had incredible charm and charisma, that baritone voice, the soaring oratory, really superb stuff, right? He was very good at humor as well. If you watch the 2011 White House Correspondents' Dinner, you can see it on YouTube. It's just full of great zingers, really, really impressive stuff. It's also reportedly where he roasted Donald Trump, which led to Donald Trump wanting to run for president. So in a way, we have him to blame for that. So on many levels, he really was a masterful communicator. You know, just go back and listen to stuff that he said and did during that time, and you will see it. He was very much able to reach across and carry people with him. He kind of suffered that at the time. There was a backlash against his movement, his presidency. But if you look at on many, many issues, and of course in two elections, he really did build quite a large coalition of people who were not necessarily the core base of the Democratic Party. So that shows his ability to reach across the aisle and convince other people. Also very good at answering questions, so the ability to respond to things. He was highly, highly intelligent, so he was able to do that. The point I made about disfluences, the ums and ahs and stuff like that, is that actually if you look at him, this is one somewhere where he wasn't so strong. When he wasn't on the teleprompter and giving a set speech, he really was very hesitating. He used a lot of ums and things like that, which, you know, I don't think marks him down too much, because actually there's not that much of a problem with disfluencies like that, filler words. But it was noticeable that he was very hesitant when he wasn't on the prompter. And at times he was a little bit too professorial, right? You know, highly intelligent guy, you know, Harvard professor and all of that. But in fact, at times he was too much of that. And a big part of the backlash against his presidency that led to Donald Trump is that those kind of heartland America people just felt that he was elitist, and they didn't respond, or they didn't respond to him in that way. And that, I think, undermined his ability to an extent. So extremely high in my book, Barack Obama. I wouldn't argue with anybody that would put him number one. Just on my personal list, he actually is number four. Okay, let's go on to the top three. At number three is Bill Clinton.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people.
President Bill Clinton. Now, this guy was just smooth, right? You know, any president that can get up there and play the saxophone is just got to be impressive. He oozed charisma. He was incredibly empathetic, which again is one of the criteria I set. He had that quality that people talk about when it comes to charisma, which is the ability to speak to somebody in a room and to make that person feel that he had their complete attention, or they had his complete attention, even though there are loads of other people in the room and he was probably the most important people in the room. And that is a mark or a hallmark of charisma. He had this folksy style when he spoke, real kind of storyteller approach that just drew you in. So he could give a big speech, but it still felt like he was just having a casual chat with you in your living room. That is such a great storytelling ability. And as a result, he was able to distill complex topics into simple messages. He could do sincerity better than anyone. Now, all politicians probably fake this to an extent, right? But he really, really could do it very well. So Bill Clinton, just on almost every level, really was a master communicator, especially if you think back to his days. You know, probably one of the most famous statements you will hear him say, of course, was "I did not have sexual relations with that woman," and all the problems that got him into with Monica Lewinsky. But again, that's politics. This isn't, so I'm not going to dwell too much on that. Just overall, in his ability to empathize, his ability to hold highly intelligent conversations, or to be totally down to earth, his ability to give a big speech, but at the same time, keep it feeling authentic. Bill Clinton really was extremely high. And again, I would not argue if you put him at number one. He just happens to fall number three on my list, because number two, which means you will also know who my number one is, because it'll be the last one who you don't hear from me about. Number two is Ronald Reagan.
If you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, If you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The great communicator himself. Now, oh my goodness, I hated this man's politics, right? So, you know, don't kill me because I've putted him on for that. But this man was more than just an actor, right? He was more than that. He was able to communicate a hopeful message that said it will be all right. He was able to inspire people with his infectious optimism and positivity, but mixed with a kind of a down to earth mischief. And he made you feel good about yourself in America at that time. He had the ability to deliver one liners like no one else. You know, he was an excellent debater. So just all round, the ability to take a nation or to take people and make them believe something or believe in something, he really, really was a master. So that is why he comes so high on this list, even though I personally disliked a lot of the things that he did and that he stood for. And I've tried to make sure we don't have a bias, a recency bias, right? So we think the latest people are the greatest and they kind of fade from memory. I think we mustn't underestimate the fact that at the time, he really was held in huge esteem throughout the world for his ability as a communicator, which is why they called him the great communicator. So that is why Ronald Reagan is my number two, which takes us eventually, finally, inevitably to the number one pick, which by now you must have guessed. And I know a lot of people will be surprised by this one, but of course it is Tony Blair.
Some may belittle politics, but we know who are engaged in it that it is where people stand tall. And although I know it has its many harsh contentions, it is still the arena that sets the heart beating a little faster. And if it is on occasions the place of low skullduggery, it is more often the place for the pursuit of noble causes. And I wish everyone, friend or foe, well. And that is that, the end.
Tony Blair. Let's get it out of the way. The big elephant, or the big war elephant in the room, the Iraq War. Okay? Absolute shambles, debacle. His approach to it was just appalling, atrocious. The fact that he hasn't been able to come to terms with it. And kind of admit the mistakes that were made, right? So put that in one box and just leave it there until I've finished this discussion, because this is not about that, right? All leaders make horrific mistakes. The one was definitely his big one. But Tony Blair is like the LeBron James of communication, right? So LeBron James is just, you know, a lot of people argue that he's the number one basketball player. Actually, my personal favorite is Michael Jordan. But in terms of the ability to basically do everything and do everything extremely well, this guy had it. He could do the big set speech, kind of probably only Obama passed him or surpassed him on that. You know, you watch his final Labour Party conference speech in 2006. It is masterful, just brilliant, right? He could do man of the people, down to earthness, you know, probably as well, if not better than George Bush and Trump, right? Again, just look back on how he was able to do that and achieve that. Look back on how he expressed himself at the death of Princess Diana and really just managed to encapsulate the feelings of the entire nation in the words that he used and the manner that he delivered them at that time. He basically invented the kind of the modern political soundbite, right? You know, others tried to follow and didn't do it as well, but he pretty much just invented that the way he did it with such a devastatingly effective way of controlling the political narrative. He was a consummate performer in the House of Commons, literally destroyed everybody that came before him all the time. He could do sincerity if he needed to and wanted to. He was able to tell jokes. Probably only Reagan was better, maybe Obama, things like that. He was great with visual, you know, the kind of creating visual images in people's minds. I still remember him kind of riding a bike in Europe with all the other leaders, and he was out in front. He was just very, very good at all of that sort of thing. And at his height, and for a number of years, he just dominated the entire, certainly the British legal, British political scene, dominated the European political scene, and especially at the time with Bill Clinton, really they were a pair that dominated, also to an extent with George Bush, although a lot of that was Iraq War based. But on every level, this man was brilliant at communication, really, really was. And I think we mustn't underestimate that when we look back, because it's very difficult to take out the kind of the Iraq War debacle from our assessment of him. But I'm determined to do that, which is why Tony Blair comes in at number one, despite his big ears. In fact, he's the only guy on this list that I have met. I met him when I was at school. He came, he was just a local politician, an MP, came to speak at our school. And I actually remember asking him if he'd ever like to be leader. And of course, he gave the typical answer of no, absolutely not. It's not something that would ever really interest me unless I was forced. You know, one of those answers where, you know, yeah, right, you're angling to be leader one day. And in fact, he became leader many, many years later. But that didn't color my view. I just think he was brilliant at it. And so that is my list. Tony Blair, number one. Reagan number two, Clinton number three, Obama number four, Trump number five, Thatcher number six, George W. number seven, Boris Johnson eight, David Cameron nine, John Major 10, George H. Bush 11, Gordon Brown 12, and poor Theresa May at number 13. Sorry, Theresa, just the way it goes. What do you guys think? That is my list. That's my opinion. Agree, disagree, up to you. But I hope you understand the basis on which I have made my choices. I hope they make sense. I would love to hear what you guys think. I was really excited when I get the feedback. Agree or disagree really doesn't matter. It's important to have an opinion. Thank you guys for staying with me on this episode, my first proper one of season three. Hope you've enjoyed it. I shall be back next couple of weeks, probably with an interview. So look out for that. Please do subscribe if you haven't already. Make sure you share it. And I shall leave you saying goodbye, of course, in a different language each time. This time it will be Mandarin, because my son is learning Mandarin and he keeps saying it. So I thought I would repeat it here. I shall say goodbye in Mandarin, which I think is Zaijian. 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 Goodbye.